The children of this age are given and taken in marriage. It's been one of the great joys of priesthood for me, joining couples at the head of the aisle. When one says to the other, I take you, I take you, you and only you, and for the rest of my life, good and bad, all mixed together, right? And that kind of faithful love, they say, is the foundation of everything. Foundation of family, foundation of society, foundation of church. I take you. I'm going to stand by that. There's another side to that. My mom and dad were married for 59 and a half years before my dad went home to the Lord. And my mom had this funny little thing she liked to do, introducing themselves, saying, you know, I've been married for 55 years or whatever. And she'd be holding my father's hand. And she said, we've been holding hands for 55 years because if we ever let go, we'd kill one another. And there was another one that she did. It was like that. She would say, we would say, Mom, you know, if Dad dies, are you going to marry again? It was kind of like, you know, we were thinking like they were thinking in the gospel. Dad dies, are you going to marry again? My mom would say, heck no, I've had two bosses, my father and your father, and I'm having no more. That's, you know, that's thinking like this world, and we all do that. We all think like, you know, just how we've seen it put together, how we put it together. That's really what's going on in the gospel. It's actually going on last week too. How we put things together. And then the Lord Jesus comes along and shifts something for us. But meets us like right where we are, right? Well, all right, you want to talk about, you know, the woman that had seven husbands and whose wife will she be? And the conversation shifts. There's like a different perspective to see it in a different way. So I want to talk about that perspective, and I have a little song that helps me do it. I know you know this song, so you help me. If I could, I surely would stand on the rock where Moses stood. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Come on now. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. They were doing what they pulled out of the scriptures to help them survive.
Amen.
A really inhumane situation.
Yes.
They got a perspective. If I could, I surely would.
Yes.
Stand on that rock where Moses stood.
Yes.
You know what you could see if you stood on the rock? You could see all the evil that was pursuing God's people.
Yes.
You could see that God had made a way where there was no way. God had made a way, and God let that evil pursue them right into that sea. And then you remember, now you got to think about why this happened this way, that Moses, you know, had that stick. Sometimes they say it was a 2x4. He had that, and he stretched that over the water, and the waters parted. Now God could have parted those waters himself, but he used old Moses and he used the 2x4, and that opened and says something about human agency, how God works. God works through the bodies of human beings. God works through the relationships of human beings. God works through human beings. And then, you know, unfortunately, that whole army went into the sea. They say sometimes we're better off when the army is in the ocean. But anyway, then the Lord commanded him to extend his hands again over the water, and those waters drowned that evil. God was fighting for Israel. They sang that in a slightly different way. You know, they had that song. They, you know, as they said, Miriam took the tambourine, and she said, "Let me sing to the Lord. Horse and chariot he has cast upon this into the sea." And the whole of Pharaoh's army was lying dead on the shore. You know that God was so concerned about the people of Israel and their moral participation in this event that he would not allow them to see what there was there on the shore. God fought for them, but in a way, God was preserving their innocence. God took it on God's very self to destroy the evil. God is at work, and God works through human beings, but God works in broader and deeper ways than human beings understand. We sang that wonderful old song, "Oh Mary, Don't You Weep." You know what that is? That's the love of the people who suffered that we put out in the room this morning. That was their love. That's what they used to find their way. That song helped them. They left it to us. And that's their love. Just like this old building, you know, all the people who went before us, all the people who worshiped here, it's their love. It's their love. And it's still present. You know, we say in that, if you're doing the rosary, you know, and you're doing the old Apostles' Creed, it says, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." But it does not mean that old body you've been dragging around for years. It means something brand new, something really transformed. That's what the resurrection's about. It's always transforming something. Really, that was at work in the people of Israel. It transformed this ragtag group of slaves into God's people, God's good and holy people, from whom came our Savior Jesus. God is always at work, always. You know, we say in the Catholic faith, and in a really special way, that from all eternity, God had been planning for us a way, a remedy for that part of us that would go the other way, that would go like Pharaoh's army. That God's always trying to draw us into life and to keep us from choosing those things that lead to death. It's in all the readings today. It's in all the readings. You know, those brave Maccabees sticking out their tongue and sticking out their hand and sticking up for their kids and sticking up for their mom, sticking up for their faith. That's the process at work in us, that facing the evil and doing the good and knowing that there is a power of love that's at work that's greater than all of it. You know, when we started the Mass, Lynn said about how God is of the living, not of the dead. Because in God, all the love, that's what the resurrection of the body means. It means all the love that you bring into the world, that we bring into the world, still here. Still here. All, you know, all your loved ones, you know that. Those who have gone before you in faith, whom you have loved, you know you still have access to their love. They didn't take it with them. They didn't take it out of this world. They didn't take it down into the grave. It's here. That's who we are. That's what we are. I believe in the resurrection of the body is sort of a quantum physical statement that the reality of the universe is made out of love, that it is benevolent. It is good. It is good. You know, we say, God is good. And all the time, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That love that comes through us is God's power, is God's mercy. And we can choose. So we had that wonderful way, you know, "Oh, Mary, don't you..." That's sort of old time, maybe even a little Baptist. You know, let's do like some old time Catholic. We do it this way. We go, "Christ has died, alleluia, Christ is risen, Alleluia, Christ will come again. Alleluia, alleluia. Or every time in the Mass we say, we eat this bread, we drink this cup, and we proclaim your death until you come in glory. Until you come in glory. That death isn't the end, death is the doorway to life. And that the whole universe is dying and rising moment by moment, second by second, the whole of reality. And so are we. We're all a part of that. So we don't have to be afraid of the dying. We face it courageously, like that young fella in the Maccabees book who stuck his tongue out at death, who stuck his tongue out at evil. That there's something in us that's forever. That's what you want to put to work every day. You know, you get out of bed and you say like, what do I got to do today? What's the number one thing? When I marry young people, I say, well, you get out of bed and now you know you got a job description. I shall love you and honor you all the days of my life. That's a job description. You know, in the morning when you get up, your husband or your wife, that's what you got to do. I got to love her. I got to honor her. It's the day of my life. But it's the same for all of us. The vocation is the same. The situation, the relationships, they're different. But that putting the love, you know, they used to say to us way back when, you know, 40 years ago when I was in the novitiate, they would tell us that religious life, the religious vocation, makes present the dying and the rising of Jesus in a way that makes it clear that there's something after this, because we don't have children. You know, the sort of the basic instinct built into us is, hey, there got to be people in this world to keep God's world going, so I got to bring some more people here because I'm not going to stay here. But the deeper reality is that we're passing through here. And all of us are meant to bring love here. So if you're still here, you still got a job. And that, the resource for that doesn't go away. In fact, the deeper other concerns fall away, the more pure and luminous that love becomes. We say, you know, we call it wisdom in old people. We say, oh, you know, she's become wise. She's become a wise old woman. Or she's become a wise old man. Because you know what's important? You know, like your grandkids are important. You know that kindness is important. You know that forgiveness is, you don't get old if you're hauling a whole bunch of old hurts with you. But there's a transformation that love is working day by day. That's what we come here to celebrate. You know, we bring it right down to the bread and wine. You know, I love this, that in the night before Jesus died, you know, he takes the bread and the wine that they've shared many, many, many times. And he goes, you know what this is? This is my love. This is my body. This is my blood. Here I am for you. And I think there's a couple other things to just keep in mind. He gives us that on the night before. And on the day of, when he's just about done and he's hanging there on the cross and the job is almost complete, he gives us his mother. He gives us his mother because he knows that if we're going to get our souls in the world, we're going to need a mighty big compassionate lap, because there is a lot to be faced. And we call her the Mother of Mercy. We call her the Queen of Heaven. We call her the Mother of all compassion. We call her the Refuge of Sinners. Whatever you want to call her, make sure you call her. My mom would say to me, call your mother. Call your mother. And having that sense that we have the great mother to call on is really important. And when he's done that, so he gives us his body and he commends his mother to us. And then he commends his spirit. He commends himself into our Father's hands. That's our path, really. That's you and me. What's joined there in the bread and wine is that. This is that. That's that. That's that.